Good evening, everyone, and welcome into Overtime. Week one, preseason week one. Not really sure how we're going to talk about this, but Mark Granny, Sterling Bennett out today. You got Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. Glad to be back in the saddle. Hey, they call me, I deliver. And they told me that I was working with you tonight. What's up, man? It's good to see you.
How are you, buddy?
Well, the last time we saw each other was on the streets of New York City. Before we get into the football, obviously, Niners, by the way, got a little less than a minute left, losing 19-10. Again, preseason game to the Titans. But before we get into that, we got to exchange some actual pleasantries.
So do we want to tell the people the last time we saw each other?
It was about, what, 6 days ago?
I mean, you you may be very casual about this and just playing possum right
I'm
now.
I'm not a city guy. You tell me.
It's an island of 6 million people. That does not happen, my man. You do not run into people like that. And you were there for a couple hours.
Yeah, I had to get my phone fixed because I had to be able to do something like this show.
Anything. We can sort of trickle that in as the show goes. Yeah. We should talk Niners, I think.
Yeah, we should. Absolutely. The Niners right now just finished kicking a field goal with 48 seconds left. So they take the points, again, trailing by 6 to the Titans. You know, and a game that's kind of inconsequential in terms of, you know, wins and losses. Look, the Titans played all their starters. The Niners today, they split halves between Rourke and Martinez. I guess the star of the night for the Niners was their second-round pick, Stribling, Dejon Stribling, who was, I thought, fantastic in his limited amount of snaps. Played most of the first half with, technically the backup quarterback. But I got to say, you know, we kind of talked about this around the time the draft happened. The Niners have had some bad fortune with wide receivers. Obviously, Ricky Pearsall is down for the season with a PCL injury. Mike Evans is going on year 13 as their big offseason addition. But Stribling looks like he's got some juice. And to me, he's the number one story from this game.
First round pick, right?
Early second round. Early second.
Stribling?
Yeah, Stribling. Technically traded back twice in order to get him.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you're right. I think he jumped out off the page. If you're looking at a preseason football game tonight and what it is that you take away, it's him. And I thought that Duggar, the linebacker defensively, you heard a lot about him in camp, and he sort of jumped off the page. But Stribling is, you know, very few times does a guy deliver just about everything that you envision of him. I hear so many stories about his size, his strength, his speed, and all of that was on display today. Now, again, it's a preseason game. We don't want to obviously get in the trees, but that's exactly what it is that they need at a position room that clearly needs a shot in the arm of somebody that's young, that's durable. We'll find out if he's durable, but certainly somebody that can sort of solidify that position with all the injuries.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought, you know, this was a game where you're looking at the Titans, who are a team coming off a season that produced a very high pick, who, by the way, Carnell Tate, their number one pick, kind of in the shadow tonight of Dejon Stribling, got 3 targets, did not get a catch in, the 4th overall pick from Ohio State, supposed to be this big-time receiver, number one off the board. Stribling, I thought he looked better than him. But aside from that, you know, it's one of those games where, you know, the Niners are a team that they're looking ahead. You know, I thought that this entire offseason was a lot about load management. You knew you weren't going to see the Purdy's, the Kittle's, the Williams, the McCaffrey's, the Evans of the world. Those guys are going to get ready for, early September in Australia against the Rams. But this game was about just seeing what kind of depth they have. And I got to say, Dan, for the most part, I thought they played pretty well. You know, again, it's their first live reps of the season outside of the joint practice they had against the Titans a couple of days ago. But I think you're right that, you know, some of those players, whether it was Duggar, I thought Ephesians, Psylock?
Prysock.
Their Prysock, pardon me. Thank you. Their 5th-round pick, the cornerback from Washington. They look pretty good. He's a big boy.
Wow. I mean, you look at that guy, 6'3", with that wingspan.
Kind of an old-school corner.
Yeah, man, he's got that Merton Hanks gooseneck thing going there. He looked impressive. I mean, it's so difficult, right, in a preseason game to see what it is that you're working with. But these draft picks this year really sort of they deliver the goods in game one. And obviously, a long way to go. But to your point, when you're looking for depth, and again, I think things sort of begin and end, and my major takeaway, and I think sort of collectively from this game, is the kid Stribling. And his size and his strength and some of the catches that he made that weren't necessarily right on him, but having to reach back and then that little toe dance he had and then put his head down and showing the strength. And the one thing I haven't seen, maybe I could ask you, is he a 4.3 40 guy when they talk about his speed, or is he a guy that is just really fast in space, or is he running away from guys? I mean, is he literally, can you put him out on an island and he's taking the lid off?
I mean, he ran a 4.3 at the combine.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's fast. The thing that stood out to me, and, you know, it's like you hear the 6'2", you hear the frame, but it's another thing to see it. And I think you're right. A lot, one of the things that stood out to me was it felt like every time it was third down, and again, you know, he's catching balls from Rourke and not Brock Purdy, and he's not out there with Debo and Mike Evans, but he was the guy. You know, when they needed to play on third down tonight, especially early in that game, they were going to him. Big catch over the top, little in-and-out move up and under, gets open for a big gain in that second quarter, ends up producing a scoring drive. Like, those are the plays the Niners are going to need. And especially without Ricky Pearsall, I know that they were hoping, and this is the thing too, it's kind of confirmation, right? We've been reading during training camp that this guy's got some talent. He's tight spaces, got some quick feet, playing mostly out of the slot. We've heard he's been sort of like a Juwan Jennings, but to your point, it looks like he's a lot faster. And for the Niners, I think that, you know, preseason is something they don't take as seriously as maybe other teams due to their age, but this rookie's got some juice, and that's going to be huge for this team.
And he's going to get time. Right? One thing we know about Shanahan, he's going to play his rookies, going back to Debo, Brandon Ayuk, obviously Pearson. Now he's hard on his rookies. Certainly that's been sort of Kyle Shanahan's trait, and apparently he has been in the grill in the face of Stribling. And I think that when you think about the young player getting an opportunity to play, I don't think it's just going to be lining up out wide, but we saw sort of the myriad of things that he can do. He got the ball in the backfield, and you think of Debo. Now, obviously, I don't think he's going to be lining up as a wide back anytime soon, but I think that what you're going to see are some wrinkles, and again, Kyle Shanahan getting innovative with a wide receiver that he can use in little hitch routes, the slant, apparently a go if he's running a 4.3 40, but also getting the ball in reverses and being able to create and do some things. And you know Kyle Shanahan, as innovative as he is, when he has a wide receiver that he thinks can do a multitude of things, he's going to get a lot of usage. So there's going to be an opportunity for this guy. And so one up and one down, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked like the best wide receiver on the field. And that's among a group of wide receivers that have Wandale Robinson, who got paid big money this offseason by Tennessee, Calvin Ridley, who's been paid big money by the Titans, and Carnell Tate, who's taken fourth overall. That's not to be taken lightly. I mean, 8 targets, 7 catches, 63 yards, including that 32-yard dime dropped in by Curtis Rourke in the first half, who, by the way, went 12 for 14. You know, I didn't think they necessarily opened things up, but they played, I thought, classic preseason football. They allowed defenses to sort of dictate the tone. And it was impressive to me, too, because, you know, again, I think this is a situation where the Niners are looking at the other side and they're saying how much their young players have against a Tennessee team that's looking to prove something to themselves. Like, winning this football game is more important for a team like the Titans, obviously, than the 49ers. But that means that Robert Saleh, who's looking to establish a brand and a culture there, he wants his guys to go full bore. And so to see Stribling take it up against those number one defensive backs, that says something. And it says to me that, you know, as great as Mike Evans is, to me, going into week one, I want to see what Purdy does with Mike Evans. But in a way, Stribling, he feels like already the most electric offensive player just because of the speed and the ability to potentially break one.
Yeah, and again, as I mentioned off the top, you hear a lot about guys who are big and strong, and a lot of that is just sort of like, you know, we've been here before, right? But to see it in action where somebody actually delivers the goods, as the young man Stribling did tonight, was pretty exciting. And the minute you see him and he just fills out the uniform, it's just like, wow, okay, but now do you have the talents between the lines? And when the bullets start flying for real, and apparently he does, this is exciting. And I think he's going to get, I mean, he's in a perfect situation because he's going to get run simply because they need him. And we should at some point get into the guy that was delivering him the rock tonight, and this kid Justin Rourke, who looked pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, no, Curtis Rourke. I think they're Well, so this was kind of a storyline going into the game. You know, I don't think many people expected Brock Purdy to play, but I was curious to see, Dan, if they would use Mac Jones. And they didn't. They split halves between Curtis Rourke and Adrian Martinez. I think Rourke is a guy that I've been reading about and watching that have kind of wanted him to, you know, maybe next year when Mac Jones is likely going to leave, you know, for more money, someone's going to pay him, that he can step in and be the backup quarterback. So these are important reps for him. But I'll ask you first. I mean, were you surprised that we didn't see Mac Jones at all tonight?
No, not at all. Oh, Mac Jones is ensconced as the number two. All these guys are going to get bubble wrapped. I think preservation is the operative word for this team, especially this time of the year. You want these guys upright, and especially when you get to the latter part of the season with all the injuries that they dealt with, not to mention it's the oldest roster in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones, no. There's nothing to see with Mac Jones. He's the number two. This is all about Rourke and Adrian Martinez, and I think it sort of went according to plan. Although, I think Rourke left a little prematurely. I don't know about giving that dude or anybody when it comes to a preseason game. Who am I to second guess Kyle Shanahan? But quarterback sneaks, or quarterback draw rather, in close in the red zone, those things are always vicious and never end well. And apparently he got dinged and got to keep an eye on the ribs. You know how that thing is. You can play because of the adrenaline, but we'll see tomorrow just how bad that shot was that he took from the side there.
Yeah, I think the other kind of injury to keep an eye on tonight was Jack Jones, a defensive back for the Niners who left early as well. A player that's kind of bounced around but has had some nice years. Las Vegas, played 17 games last season for the Dolphins, so something to monitor. We'll hopefully hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up in a little bit. Again, this is Overtime with Evan Giddings and Dan Devone live here on 95.7 The Game. Game officially done. The Niners lose to the Titans in week one of preseason. Got two more left under their belts in the coming weeks. 19-13, the final score. Kind of a classic preseason game. We didn't see any teams across the league, by the way, really run it up tonight. The most points that were scored across the NFL were the Chargers with 27, the Cardinals with 27, and the Pittsburgh Steelers had 28 points. So it's and it's one of those games, too. Like, you're seeing them go for it on fourth downs. I think it was maybe nice at the end of the game for Shanahan to let Pinero, there's no pressure in preseason, but you let him take that kick late in the game to kind of simulate what a last-minute sort of drive feels like to get out there, and you need those points. Pinero, obviously a kicker that's well-trusted, only missed one field goal last season for the Niners. But overall, this was a game where you want to get in and get out without injuries. And to your point, maybe Rourke is someone to keep an eye on. But for the most part, the Niners got through healthy, and they bubble-wrapped their team. In, out, record doesn't matter.
No, and the opponent doesn't really matter. It's just about situational football and getting reps, which is why I think the practices or these scrimmages that they had, like they did the other day against Tennessee, are much more productive from a coaching standpoint because you get the reps, and it's much more structured, and I think that there's a lot more work that you can put into it. But, I mean, you can't simulate what it's like, especially for these younger players, to play under the lights and for a regionally televised game just to see how they're going to react in that moment. And so for a lot of these kids, it's their first opportunity to see how they respond. Again, I thought the rookies came across really well. There was two guys that I wanted to see, and Stribling exceeded expectations. And I think for a lot of people, I speak for them when I talk about what it is he was able to do today. And then defensively, this kid, Duggar, who I've heard a lot about,
mm-hmm. Looks fast
and looks like a guy that could have an opportunity to be the number three, I guess, if they go to a three linebacker set next to obviously Warner and Dre Greenlaw. And he just is, you know, he has that size and that, again, and Romello height. I'm one of those guys, I hear about these guys, read about these guys, and then to actually see them play, it's like, okay, wow, you really are that big and really are that quick. Now, obviously, you know, there's a lot that has to happen in terms of them, you know, having this thing slow down for them a little bit. But I think, just staying with Duggar for a moment, what I do know about Raheem Morris is that he likes to obviously camouflage things defensively, and with these five down linemen, he seems as though he might be the prototype for Raheem Morris going forward, a guy that you could have come off the edge, drop him back into coverage. He's played in so many different positions, including safety and linebacker, and he's been a down lineman as well. So I think that guy is somebody to keep an eye on in terms of the future with the 49ers, especially with Raheem Morris at the controls, because he can do so many different things.
Well, and especially at the middle linebacking spot, you're hoping that Fred Warner is going to return to his Iron Man status. And last year I put more under the flu category, but you're hoping Dre Greenlaw stays healthy. But the last couple of seasons, it's been really since he tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl, it's been impossible to rely on him. And so at some point, you're probably going to need someone to step into that will spot. And, you know, is it Tatum Bethune, who played a lot last year for the Niners? Is it Jaden Ducker? Is it Nick Martin, who had a team-high eight tackles tonight? A top three pick in last year's draft. So I think they have some options there. But you're right on Raheem Morris. I think that was defensively the storyline that I was most interested in. Okay, what were they going to do schematically? And we didn't see a ton of starting talent out there. But I did think you got a glimpse into how he's going to deploy some of these guys. You know, three sacks in a preseason game, a couple of which against quarterbacks who were trying to make plays out of nothing. But you saw Tatum Bethune blow up a guy in the second half and get to the quarterback. You saw a couple half sacks from some down linemen. You saw him not being afraid to blitz, sending guys like Duggar, who's fast. And it feels like Raheem Morris is not going to be afraid to get imaginative this season when necessary, especially if, God forbid, you know, Nick Bosa's knee is lingering and you don't have your top edge rusher. This is a football team that I thought last season, a lot of fans and media alike were begging Robert Saleh to blitz. You know, they were begging him to send an extra man because you just didn't have a lot of talent out there on the football field. And while they have more this season, a lot of which we didn't see tonight, I think it's already apparent in one preseason game that Raheem Morris is not going to be afraid to try and dial up an extra man or two.
I would say that, if you're going to be relying on blitzes and exotic packages, I think you can fool offensive sets for a bit, but eventually I think you got to win up front, don't you? So the area of concern that has plagued this team over the last couple of years continues, and it's who plays the bookend or the opposite side of that of Nick Bosa, and they haven't been able to solidify that spot since the departure of D Ford? How long ago has that been, right? I mean,
yeah. Chase Young's been the closest guy
They brought in veterans like Chase Young, yeah. And they brought in kids like Drake Jackson, and it hasn't worked. And, you know, Mikael Williams showed signs, but obviously he's injured, and maybe he's that guy. They're expecting him back at some point during the season. But that continues to be, I think, when you think about and you handicap this football team, especially on that side of the ball, it's like, who is going to be that guy that's going to set the other edge? And you can get exotic in your blitzes and you can drop guys into coverage, but at some point you got to put a hat on a hat and a guy's just got to beat that tackle with a hand in the dirt. My point being is that you can only do so much in terms of trying to fool offenses. At some point, you have to have another guy set the edge. And that continues to plague this football team. And we'll see whether they found it with Romello Hyde or the before-mentioned Duggars, or maybe it's Mikael Williams.
Yeah, Hyde's a guy I'm interested in. It's kind of funny. I think his first play on defense, he had illegal hands with the face and just got a little bit too aggressive. But he's someone who's supposed to be fast, you know, sort of filling in, for the 49ers and what they're trying to do, defensively. I mean, you just look at what they had last season on the defensive line. It just simply was not enough. And I know they weren't a team that blitzed a whole lot, but, you know, 2 years ago they had a 9 sack leader. Last year their leader in sacks was 4, and it was Bryce Huff who retired prematurely. So I think Romello Hyde's sort of supposed to be that replacement, if you will. And I mean, my biggest question, I know sacks aren't everything. You want to hit the quarterback, you want to get to the backfield, you want to get tackles for losses, but I wonder, is there going to be a guy on this football team, Dan, with 10 sacks this season? And is there any way that guy is not named Nick Bosa? Because to me, he's the only one with the ability right now to do it. You'd like to see what you have with, you know, some of the guys up front. Obviously, Mikael Williams is looking to have a bounce back season. To me, he's less of a pass rusher than he is a sort of a tone setter on the edge. They don't have a ton of guys one-on-one who can get to the quarterback besides 97. And that's why I believe that someone like Raheem Morris is a Kyle Shanahan guy. He's not maybe going to be so aggressive, but he has his own style. Like, I think if there's anybody that's going to hold Raheem Morris back, it'll be Shanahan, because Raheem Morris's style is figuring out different ways to force the ball into dangerous areas, whether it's the quarterback being pressured, making poor decisions. I just think there's going to be more versatility on that side of the football. And while it may not be Romello Heights specifically, they got to find a way to get after it. Otherwise, this is going to be a season that with a tougher schedule and better quarterbacks, it's going to be a lot harder.
Well, Nick Bosa has got to be healthy.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pressure the quarterback. And if it's not Bosa, then you're in trouble. And it's a lot like last year. And I can't think of, can you remember a team that vied for anything serious in terms of NFC or AFC championships or Super Bowls that didn't have a guy coming off the edge pressuring quarterbacks?
It just at least happen. An interior lineman. Yeah,
That's a prerequisite in today's football. So Bosa's got to be able to do what he's doing. And to your point, yeah, I don't think you necessarily need somebody with double-digit sacks coming off the other side, but you do need a presence there. And that's sort of been the area of concern. And you can see it with the way they target guys just about every year in the draft, trying to find somebody. And again, up next is Romello Height, and let's see what you got. And so apparently up to this point, he has been certainly somebody that hasn't disappointed, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. It's difficult to sort of gauge what it is that you saw tonight because it's a preseason football game and it's sort of sloppy, and Tennessee's a team that's won 3 games over the last 2 years. You know? Well, 3 games last year, and I think 3 games the year before that. So it's not a good team. And but regardless, again, when you talk about tonight's preseason game and what jumps out at you, it's Stribling, and to me it's that kid Duggar, and even that is it Prysock?
Oh, the cornerback?
6'3" with that wingspan?
Yeah, Ephesians Prysock.
That dude just, are you kidding me?
That play made it the goal line, that was nice.
And that was he was D'ing up the kid out of Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I mean, and they looked about eye to eye. Carnell Tate's a big dog. Again, if you're just joining us, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. This is Overtime with Evan Giddings and Dan Devone here on 95.7 The Game. Niners, week one of preseason, fall to the Titans 19-13. A game where, again, standouts include their second-round pick, DeJon Stribling, 7 catches for 63 yards, including a 32-yard long reception. It was the longest of any wide receiver in this game. It didn't really feel like either offense was, you know, going into the bag. I guess you could say Tennessee, you know, ran a little more screen action. I thought there was some stuff in the first half that defensively the Niners weren't prepared for. But overall, you know, this is one where you're trying to get through unscathed. You're trying to get through healthy. You're trying to get your guys reps, particularly your young players. And I think if there was anything, you're just noticing a lot of these guys for the Niners that are out there, and you're thinking about them as second or third stringers. And it's a reminder, they played a lot last season. You know, Tatum Bethune played a lot down the stretch of last season. You look at a guy like who is my guy? The safety, Marquise Siegel, who is out there, missed a tackle tonight. But Sebastian Valdez was someone who by the end of the year was a name that we sort of knew about. It's like Daryl Luter was out there. There were guys out there who played a lot last season, and you wonder, wow, how did that football team win 12 games with some of these dudes? You know, they just signed Khalil Herbert off the street, and he ends up with a couple of catches and some decent runs for the Niners tonight. And outside of that, you know, it's the running back room is a little bit bare. It's also on the backs of McCaffrey. I do wonder, like, how much did tonight maybe tell you about the positions and how important they are? Like, I think it highlights again how important, obviously, McCaffrey is. I think it highlights how much on the defensive line they rely on Bosa. I thought the linebacking core looked okay, which is funny because that's the spot where I think you feel the most confident with Fred Warner returning.
Yeah, I think as long as Fred Warner's good to go, I'm fine. Like, I know they put so much emphasis on who's going to be the number two, but if Warner's one of those guys, if he's upright, no matter who's next to him, they're going to look good because he's so good, and he's a guy who just scrapes sideline to sideline and such a nose for the football that – you know, we'll see what D Winner's like in Dallas, but I think all of those guys, it's hard not to look good when you're playing against somebody that's as talented as that of Fred Warner. So Fred Warner is upright. I don't care if it's Greenlaw. I don't care if it's D Winner. I don't care if it's Tatum Bethune or, you know, this kid Duggar. Warner is really sort of the key in all of that. And you talked about players that you saw last year. Speaking of which, I think that one of the things that I'm keeping an eye on is those 5 picks that they spent on defenders last year. Their first five picks all going to defense in last year's NFL draft. And all of those guys have their moments. Mm-hmm. And I think you could say, well, yeah, there's some promise here. There's some promise there. You're hoping that one or two, if not all of them, in a perfect case scenario, takes that step, right? Where things slow down and then suddenly the confidence begins to settle in and they become impact players, not guys with potential or guys who look good in a play or two but are still very green, but rather somebody that you can rely on, whether it's Upton Stout now that has solidified the nickelback or the big kid out, Collins, or if it's C.J. West or Mikael Williams, that they're no longer rookies but guys that now in their second year are solidifying key positions for this 49er football team, because I think that was the idea all along when they put such an emphasis on those young players and leaning in to all five of them when they drafted them in 2025.
Yeah, and you're going to need some of those guys to take some steps. You know, maybe not leaps, but certainly steps into appearing like certifiable starting caliber players, because the Niners is... You know, as much as they've relied on this older core and a lot of these big stars, you know, when you have a draft like you do last year where you take 10 guys, you got to hit on a couple of them, or you'd like to believe that a few of these darts are going to find bullseyes, if not big numbers. A little bit of an update from down south in Santa Clara. You were asking about Curtis Rourke and that rib that he injured on the quarterback keeper in the first half. According to Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group, Curtis Rourke's rib wasn't broken upon stadium x-rays, but went to the local hospital for more imaging because he was struggling to catch his breath. Kyle Shanahan added, "Not too concerned, but I also don't want to downplay it." So at least for now, Curtis Rourke appears to be okay, is somebody who we'll probably see a lot of in the preseason if he's healthy. But again, you know, Jack Jones really the only other one that I think left. Could be precautionary, could be serious, we'll find out. But the biggest win tonight for the Niners, obviously in a 19-13 loss, the fact that nobody was seriously injured. So, all right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you here on Overtime after the Niners again lose in week one of the preseason to the Titans, but they win in terms of health. Big performances from Dejon Stribling, 7 catches, 63 yards, long of 32, on 8 targets, by the way, very efficient, couple of first downs as well, some big catches for the second rounder. And we'll have more coverage coming up on the other side, along with Kyle Shanahan, hopefully in a bit. Keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
Now back to Overtime on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome into Overtime. Evan Giddings alongside Dan Devone with you here tonight. Granny is showing we'll be back soon, but week one of the preseason is done. We finally got... It's just kind of weird, Devone. Like, you go so long. I think by the end of the season, especially with one as much of a roller coaster as the Niners had in 2025, you know, you're kind of, I don't want to say burnt out, but you're like, whew, you can just take a deep breath. And then August comes back around, you get a little itchy, you start reading about training camp, and I mean, we got football for the next 6 months.
It's interesting that you say that, because what do you think about, and I mentioned how you need to preserve these guys, especially with all the injuries that they've dealt with. Specifically, somebody like that of George Kittle. Is he playing in Australia? It looks as though he's pretty close and he's good to go. You could still stick him on the PUP list. I mean, my whole thing is to make sure that these guys are upright and ready to go the most important part of the season, which isn't early September, but rather December, January.
Doesn't that sound like the NBA, though?
Exactly like that.
Sounds like basketball.
Well, I was about to give you a New York Knicks reference, but I was going to spare you. But I grinded the Knicks this year during the 82 and the ebb and flow. And there were times where I was like, this team is not going to win a damn thing in the postseason and get rid of Brown and Carl Anthony Towns sucks. And then at the most important part of the season, they go 16-2, right? They all found their roles and everything gelled. And yes, I think it's applicable to the NFL, more specifically the 49ers. And so, yeah, he loves to see kill. I know he wants to play 100,000 people out in the land down under. And sure, but it's more important to have these guys good to go, I think, at the most important part of the season. And when you think about the injury history of late, I'm thinking about being very cautious. And I don't know, you know, Pete. Teams don't necessarily load manage in the NFL, but I would consider it if I'm Kyle Shanahan, who's rocking a mustache these days.
Yeah, and again, the Niners lose to the Titans 19-13 here in week one of the preseason, breaking it all down for you. Hopefully going to have Kyle Shanahan's sound coming up in a little bit. But to your point about the injuries, I mean, the only thing to report tonight is Curtis Rourke, whose x-rays, for his rib cage came back negative. He's going to get an update from the local hospital, but those are pretty much the updates you hope to hear every single week. I think it's funny that on the day where Pablo Torre's podcast comes out about the substation and kind of debunks a lot of the, you know, non-scientific evidence as to why the Niners are injury prone, it's a day where you get through the preseason pretty much unscathed. And I realize that their big boys didn't play. The Titans did play the majority of their starters, but for the most part, neither side was hurt. And that is, you know, it's funny, we're talking a little bit about basketball, but just my sense, and I think it's been highlighted and heightened by the Niners because of their age, and you brought it up earlier how old they are, but this is load management time for them, the fall and training camp. And to some extent, maybe the beginning of the regular season, I still don't think you can approach it that way with just 17 games. Maybe in a case like Kittle, you try and save him from himself at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure. But this is the time of the year where the Niners, who have a bunch of players who have played in a bunch of playoff games, a couple of them have played in Super Bowls, they do not need to go full out. They do not need to be 100% in practice, in joint practices, clearly in preseason games. Even if, like last year, you saw Brock Purdy get a couple of snaps against the Las Vegas Raiders, there's no rollouts. You know, we hand the ball off, a couple of quick drops, get the ball out quick, get a sweat in, and get on that plane 100%. So from that perspective, the Niners, I think they won tonight, even though they actually lost by six.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see any of those guys, especially Brock Purdy. But now maybe he gets pressed into duty because of Rourke's injury. And again, it's a preseason game, and I'm not going to second guess and go after Kyle Shanahan, but
a treat him like Trey Lance. You could say
quarterback draw. I know down there, it's just a recipe to get dinged. Get guys coming from all sides and head on. And sure enough, he got, you know, he was unprotected, and somebody came in and put the hat right on the rib cage. And it was, I sort of felt bad for the kid because he was obviously dinged and didn't know where he was. Mm-hmm. And right after that, the play clock ran out on him, and Kyle Shanahan was yelling from the sidelines, look at the clock, look at the clock. And he was completely out. I mean, he was so good up to that point, but then he got completely discombobulated. And then right after that, I think even when they scored the touchdown, you know, he had problems with the snap, but you could see that he came unglued after that stick. So to your point about, you know, erring on the side of safety, I would do away with any quarterback draws, especially when it's, you know, Curtis Rourke, I get it. He's number three on the depth chart. But still, when you think about it, if he's unavailable to go, your only available quarterback is Adrian Martinez, which means you're going to have to see a little Brock Purdy, or maybe you are going to have to see Mac Jones, when in the perfect world, you didn't want to play either one of those guys.
Maybe you got to sign a guy. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Adrian Martinez played the majority of the football game tonight. Curtis Rourke, by the way, an efficient 12 of 14 for 101 yards, 97 quarterback rating. Adrian Martinez went 16 of 30 with 159 yards. Neither had a touchdown, neither had an interception. You know, offensively, the Niners played it pretty close to the vest. There was a couple of negative plays they had, but for the most part, just tried to keep the ball out of harm's way and also keep the ball, their receivers and other players out of harm's way. I thought this game mimicked a lot of what we've been reading and seeing in training camp, which is kind of bubble wrap. You know, if Christian McCaffrey's got some tightness, shut him down. Nick Bosa, soreness in the knee. All right, you haven't even had a full practice. Just sit for a week. Trent Williams, it's not that big of a deal. Who, by the way, again, just as a reminder, was on the broadcast and on a KPIX, looks huge. I mean, just every single time you see Trent Williams, you wonder at his age how he's able to just maintain the kind of stature that he does. But tonight was about the young guys. You know, I thought it was funny that the two sides approached this game, I felt like, Dan, just in such completely opposite manners. Kyle Shanahan is looking at this. I know you want to win every game, but Kyle Shanahan's guys, get out there, get your reps, get your work in, get on the bus, go home, and make sure you're not hurt. Robert Saleh is like, all right, this is our first game together as a group. We want to try and establish something. Cam Ward, you're starting. Will Levis has been a starter before. You're playing. Trubisky, you're going to get in there, a veteran quarterback. Tyjae Spears, who saw a bunch of time last year for the Titans, is out there. Tony Pollard, their starting running back, is playing and getting the ball between the tackles. Like, the Titans were trying to win this football game in a sense, whereas the Niners were just trying to get through the football game. And I think from that perspective, they look pretty good, considering a lot of their backups were going up against ones on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's trying to win these games. Maybe he is. He's clearly trying to change the culture. I think what he wanted to do is have his starting units out there play and play well so that he can create some sort of momentum and energy in that locker room. And again, just sort of cultivating an entirely different sort of culture and environment out there in Tennessee because they've been so associated and accustomed to losing. It's interesting to your point because coaches have such different philosophies when it comes to the preseason. I know Sean McVay for years, ever since he's taken over, does not play his starters. Going back to the year they went to the Super Bowl and Jared Goff and company did not see a snap in the preseason. There are some players, and I think Kyle Shanahan is not to that level, but I think Shanahan at some point wants to see Purdy or some of his starters, if he can, get some reps, especially when it comes to his quarterbacks, so they get in some sort of a rhythm with their wide receivers and just get some of the rust off. But yeah, it depends on who you are as a head coach. The Los Angeles Rams are probably going to use Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald's the guy who hasn't played in some 3 years, and they firmly believe in the guy. So inactivity, they do not believe, is something that can inhibit the performance level when it comes to playing in the regular season or when they count for real.
888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to react to the San Francisco 49ers' first preseason game, we're taking your calls. We're taking your reaction. Also, check us out on YouTube and Twitch, 957 The Game. 19-13, the final score. My name is Evan Giddings. That's Dan DeVone. You know, I thought maybe if there was one thing about the game, made my eyes get a little big. I got to say that the line play between both teams, and, you know, not necessarily the defensive line, I couldn't wrap my arms around the Niners offensive line. And it was primarily at the beginning of the game. Anytime you don't have Trent out there, you're going to look different. But they didn't run the ball particularly well. They had a couple of early penalties. If I'm trying to figure out where the Niners can get better, I think that the area of concern for me for this football team, Dan, is the trenches. And they didn't necessarily get, dominated up front, but they gave up 167 rushing yards. Not all of it's going to be legitimate. Some of it's against backups and all the rest. But I think the ground game, especially when you think about, all right, who do you got coming up to start the season? The Niners are going up against the Rams. They got the Broncos and the Seahawks, three of the first 5 weeks, all teams that can control the line of scrimmage. That's something that we're obviously not going to find out how good they are in preseason. But it's just kind of something I'm keeping in the back pocket as a receipt. Like, okay, couldn't really protect the quarterback the first couple of drives. Didn't run the ball necessarily efficiently. McCaffrey's going to make a huge difference in that. But how much of that is going to change from last season to this season? Because it was a big reason, I think, that they looked so overmatched when they went up against the best talent, not just in their division, but in the NFC.
I think it'd be a bigger concern if it was Brendel and Dom Pooney out there tonight, McKivitz and Trenton Williams all whiffing on guys, then I think that there might be something there. But I think that the 49ers knew going into this, when you're using backups to the backups in your offensive line, because an offensive line is all about rhythm, man. It's about synchronized swimming. Like, everybody has got to be in sync with one another. And when you're just throwing sort of a hodgepodge lineup out there, I think, you can sort of expect the worst. A lot of this is just one-on-one evaluation as to whether or not these guys are going to make the 53-man. But if it's, if it's Brendel and, again, Dom Pooney and all of these guys and McKivitz that are put in the sort of performance that we saw tonight, then I think it would be a bigger concern. I think offensive and defensive line play, the two things during the preseason are really difficult to gauge, especially when you have your starters in there.
Yeah, no doubt. This just came in. Kyle Shanahan finished up at the podium moments ago, talking about the Niners' loss to the Titans in week one of the preseason. Again, 19-13. If you want to get in on the conversation, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you. Here's Kyle Shanahan in its entirety. We'll listen to it and then react on the other side.
Didn't return. Curtis Rourke, ribs. Didn't return. Nick Martin had a stinger. He returned. And Siegel, oblique, didn't return.
Rourke, it was his first NFL action. How'd you feel he fared?
I looked good. Got the ball to the right spot. Thought he hung in there, played well, did a hell of a job on that draw. It looked good out there live.
Did it sound like he might miss some time?
I'm not sure. You know, he, you know, they said ribs. He was struggling to breathe, so they took him to the hospital just to check on everything, make sure it's all right. X-rays in here didn't show it was broken or anything, but, you know, we'll see what we find out tomorrow.
Maybe you have to add another quarterback.
Yeah, maybe. And we still have three in here, so it's not a necessity. So with other guys hurt on the roster, it might be hard to add it to carry five, but you don't have to with three.
Have you heard since he's been in the hospital, is he doing okay?
I assume so. I mean, they just want to go get more imaging and find out, so we weren't too concerned. I don't want to downplay it too much, but also not trying to overplay it either.
All would have happened if Adrian had gotten hurt. I mean,
we were from the second quarter on. We were talking about what guys who are in the game who could take a handoff and hand it off, or take a snap and hand it off. So Braden Willis was going to go in. We were doing handoff drills with him at halftime, so he was ready for it if we had to.
What do you think of Dejon Stribling's long catch down the field and his performance in general?
It seemed good. I mean, we'll see when we watch the film. I thought he struggled a little bit on that on the first drive, but I think he got three drives after that, and seemed like he executed all the stuff that went to him, and I liked how his hands looked out there and played physical.
Is he moving around, or is he still playing predominantly in the slot for
you? He's moving around. Yeah, we're switching him up throughout the week, and he did a number of different things today, too.
I know you talked about it before, but what do you make of the way he's handling sort of the adjustment of playing other positions and just everything that's on his plate?
He's handling it well. I mean, it was tough when he got hurt. You know, he missed that week. And now he's been back for, I believe a week. And hopefully he can string together two more of these weeks, because he's going about it the right way. And as long as he gets those reps and continues to do what he's been doing, he should be ready for the season.
Looked like Duggar was starting at the will and Martin at the strong. Is there significance to that kind of ordering?
No, there's not really any significance with the linebackers. We feel like we got a bunch of good players. We're trying to get a bunch of them playing time and kind of let it sort itself out as these weeks go.
Well, we got his snaps at right guard today. Is that more of a cross training thing, or is it? Do you feel he's more comfortable in that spot as opposed to the left?
No, you got to be able to play everything. You know, we got guys competing for the starting left guard position. He's one of those, and he's got a real good chance to get that. A number of guys do too, and whoever doesn't better be able to play both sides.
How did the joint practice on Tuesday impact what you wanted to do with the veterans, or did it? I mean, did they get the work in that you wanted them to get in this week?
Yeah, they did. I mean, we decided that before. I wasn't going to play any of our vets who were starters. We decided that a little earlier in the week before we went against Tennessee. If we didn't feel we got that work in, probably would have changed my mind, but was real happy with the work that we got that day, and the vets. The guys who didn't dress today got a workout in yesterday. They got a workout with the coaches today, just routes and air and things like that. So they've gotten some work in, but it'll be good to have them fresh for Saturday too.
I know he missed some time too, but what have your impressions of Grayson Halton been so far?
It's always tough when these guys miss time, but I think he's been back for at least a week too, and I think he's taken advantage of it. He had a good week and looked like he did some good things out there today, but I'll have to see the film and know for sure.
Did it feel like business as usual for you, being back on the sideline, being on the sideline? I'm assuming Clay called the plays.
Yeah. How did you work on that? Same as I did last year in preseason. You know, I didn't call play last year in preseason, and so it's really felt the same as last year. You know, I have a lot of confidence in Clay. Does as good of a job as anyone I've been around at it, and so nothing new today.
I saw you kept the red flag. I know you have the option to have somebody. Did you think about another person having the red flag?
No. I think the red flag's the most overrated thing in football. So I guess I should have given someone else an attempt at it. I like throwing it, but I don't like when I throw it and it's wrong. But I didn't have to throw it today, so it's a good thing.
What are you hoping to see out of your defensive ends through the preseason while you don't have Bosa or Mikel, maybe Keon?
Just like guys separating themselves. I think we got a number of guys competing to make this team, number of guys competing to play, number of guys competing to try to make this practice squad. And I like when guys make it so we don't have to make a tough decision. I like guys to jump out in these games. I like them to jump out in practice. And, you know, we've... You know, four of the guys that we had today didn't start training camp with us either. So, you know, we've had new guys in there, but I think a lot of them have done some good things in this week, and they did the same things today, and hopefully that'll continue throughout camp.
Coach, with just everything that's gone on the last month, how did it feel just to be on the sidelines coaching football?
The same as it has in practice, you know. So it's, you know, I know everyone knows I miss some things and haven't been calling plays as much, but I don't really do that in the preseason anyway, so it's felt pretty normal. You know, I'm on a pretty normal schedule. Missed some of the media stuff, missed some of the hours, and it's not exactly consistent, but football's been pretty normal for me.
It didn't look like you had any concerns because you were walking on the sidelines between players and just kind of mixing it up in there.
Yep, they stay away from me. They don't want to get hurt.
What have been your impressions of Price Sox so far?
Similar to kind of answering questions about everyone else. Anytime rookies come in, they got an uphill battle. He's been able to stay healthy and go through these 2 weeks, which I think has been really good for him. It looked like he did some good things today, and but like I said, I'll wait till I see the tape, and hopefully that'll continue next week versus the Chargers.
As far as Roar, did he start having trouble drawing a breath after he came to the sideline after that drive?
I don't know. We were worried he was banged up on that draw. We were trying to look at him. You know, we were yelling to him. He was saying he was fine. Then when he got to the sidelines after we scored, then they said they needed to take him in to look at a rib. They said that it didn't seem broken on the first x-ray, but they kept him in there. And then at halftime, they said they wanted to take him to the hospital just because he was struggling with some breast stuff. So you got to look in. When you don't see it's something on the x-ray and someone's struggling with something, then you just got to go cover your bases and look for more.
What appealed to you guys about Robert Jones bringing him in after he didn't play last year, had to sit out? Is it his 2024 tape or something else that really drew you to him?
They bring us a group of all guys that are available, you know, and our scouts have opinions on them, our personnel department does, and then we study them. As a coaching staff, the offensive staff, I rely on Chris First or the most, guys that have coached Robert in the past too that we have relationships with, so we felt he fit into our scheme and was a guy that we were able to get that we think can compete for that starting job, and if not, he can have some good depth for us.
If I've seen you do the quick field goal, go for a long time kick too much, is that just wanted to try it out? Is it something?
Yeah, I still don't know if that was right. People were suggesting it. It's preseason. I said, screw it, let's try it. After we did it, I thought maybe we should have gone for the touchdown a couple more times because there was still a lot of time on the clock, and a touchdown is a lot harder, obviously, than a field goal. I did like doing it that way, knowing that we didn't have to waste a timeout, because having a timeout to go get that, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, is a huge advantage. But we'll assess it as coaches tomorrow. We'll have our analytics people assess it and see.
The right time to do it analytically?
Well, they didn't speak up on that. So
on the clock, I mean.
Yeah, when there is like a cut in stone thing analytics-wise, you know, when it comes to going for two or something like that, usually when it's like that, they speak up, and they didn't on that. So we'll assess it tomorrow.
Is that Brian Hampton in your ear talking you through that?
No, it's Matt Plonsky. Yeah.
How did you
and retired from that 2 years ago?
Excuse me. Did you and Sala get a chance to compare notes on your teams?
Yeah, we're not the biggest note takers, but we're more FaceTimers. So we sat there and FaceTimed a little bit the last two nights, just talking about what we saw from each other. It's a little bit easier when you're in different conferences. You don't have to lie as much. You can be a little bit more honest, but I know he definitely isn't always. He's still trying to find things out, and so am I. But it was good for us to practice against each other, have someone that you know, especially seeing Gus and stuff, and you know, White Cotton, who was here for a little bit, Tony Oden. But it was good to catch up with all those guys this week.
Did Nate Hobbs suit up? What was his status?
Nate Hobbs in the practice versus the Titans pulled his groin. So he's going to be a few weeks.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Kyle Shanahan after week one of the preseason. Niners fall to the Titans 19-13. This is overtime on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, 888-9570 is the number. Obviously, a lot to dig into there, Dan. First things first, it's just like, considering everything he went through the last, I would say, month or month and a half, it is kind of good just to hear Shanahan actually be Shanahan at the podium.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the injury or the car accident.
It does feel behind us.
You know, when you think about how horrific that thing was, and it was less than a month ago, well, it was more than a month ago, but yeah, it's good to see him doing his thing. I thought it was sort of interesting. Maybe were we going to get through a break it?
Yeah, I mean, we'll dig into our takeaways on the other side, but yeah, I just wanted to, it is something that I think a lot of people is just out of their minds, and you know, was I think reminded, well, I was reminded of it is just watching him in the joint practice, you know, kind of with a little bit of, I don't know if it was a guard or, you know, some sort of brace on his hand, but yeah, Kyle Shanahan, he appears to be back, and he's as chipper as ever. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, we'll break down everything we heard from Kyle Shanahan, as well as week one of the preseason. Look a little bit more at the big picture for the San Francisco 49ers, some of our expectations, what we hope to see between now and their next preseason game against the Los Angeles Chargers of the preseason, who looked pretty dominant tonight in their own 27-7 victory against the Texans. Again, 888-957 is the number. Overtime here on 95.7 The Game returns after this.
Now back to Overtime on 95.7 The Game.
All right, week one of the preseason all wrapped up. Niners go down 19-13 to the Titans, walk away pretty much unscathed. Just three players, including their quarterback, Curtis Rourke, Marquise Siegel, who saw time last year. They do not return to the game, but Robert Saleh back in town, Kyle Shanahan back on the sidelines. Prior to the break, Dan, we got into Kyle Shanahan's postgame, talked about a lot of things. Good to hear him back at the podium, but what sort of stood out to you from old Shanny?
Well, he was just typical Shanahan coach talk. All of us, and I think anybody that saw the game, including the people that were there today, the media, they were asking questions. We're talking about Stribling. What do you think of Stribling? But he was very measured in what it is that he had to say, because he knows that this is going to get right back to the kids. And the last thing he wants to do is say, wow, he was amazing, like us, right? Like, he has got to temper all of that. I've got to see what it is that I saw on film. You just got to make sure that you bring these guys along and that they don't think that they've arrived, because there's still a long, long way to go. And he knows that better than anybody. I thought the one thing that jumped out at me is how measured his words were when it came to, obviously, I guarantee he'll either light up a fat one or have a beer. I'm like, man, I'm so happy what it is that I saw out of this kid. But as far as doing the song and dance with the media, he did what it is that Kyle Shanahan is expected to do, and that is to make sure that these guys keep a level head.
Well, what was one of the first things he said about Dejon Stribling, who, by the way, had 7 catches for 63 yards on just 8 targets? Well, he didn't have a good first drive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
thank you.
I mean, the Niners as a whole didn't have a great first drive. I think that they had a holding penalty that set them back and, you know, kind of killed it. But then they got into a bit of a rhythm after they went down 7-0. Yeah, you know, it was interesting. And, you know, you can also see, I know Shanahan at the podium was one thing, but you can really see the coaching on the field. You know, there's no doubt that someone like Cam Ward has infinitely more talent than an Adrian Martinez or Curtis Rourke, but I didn't think Cam Ward looked that good tonight.
I have never been a Cam Ward guy. Going back to Washington State, I mean, sorry, I mean to
No, we can get into it. It's, you know, but he gets a new guy in Brian Daboll, who's had success with quarterbacks in the past, I think most famously with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and who was a very raw talent himself. And Cam Ward just, he doesn't look any different than he did last year, where he can make these incredible plays, but I texted one of my buddies, our friend Carter Chickering. I texted him, still looks like he's playing high school. He's like the skedaddle back there. He took a 20-yard penalty, you know, intentional grounding. He took a bad sack, and I think it was his third drive. Like, he can hit the home run, there's no doubt about it. But there was a play in the first drive where he had an easy just swing pass to Wandale Robinson, completely biffed. Like, he went 5-for-12 tonight, and he's got all the talent in the world, but watching him versus Curtis Rourke, it's like, I understand he's the number one pick, but he's got a lot of work left.
Yeah, and I think that when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, you know, Kyle Shanahan covets certain quarterbacks. Like, he likes Kirk Cousins. He liked Sam Darnold. He liked Mac Jones. There's certain guys that he sees that aren't necessarily the most talented, but they can go through progressions. They're cerebral quarterbacks. They don't have the strongest arms. They're not Lamar Jackson. They're not going to get confused with Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. And I guarantee you that Kyle Shanahan would have no interest in coaching someone like that at Cam Ward.
Totally agree.
Not one bit. And did you see one of those slant routes where he drops down three-quarter? You know what, Cam? When I see Cam Ward needs to go to quarterback school and just learn to get into three, five, seven-step drops, go through your reads, stay in the pocket, come over the top, you know, just be a quarterback instead of all of these other things that you're trying to do. His footwork is just, and I don't want to sound like some sort of a guru, but my goodness, his footwork is just brutal.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, obviously he was taken after they selected relatively high, you know, Will Levis, who is another big arm quarterback out of Kentucky. He was a second round pick under the prior regime.
Remember, he was projected to go pretty high that year.
Yeah, and he slid because there's a lot of the simple stuff that he just can't seem to do. I completely agree. You look, Kyle Shanahan, you know, if the Niners had the number one pick in last year's draft, may they have taken Cam Ward? Possibly, but he does not seem like a guy who's going to succeed, at least in the immediate under Kyle Shanahan. And you know, you can say what you want, but Cam Ward's going to need some work, and Brian Daboll was brought in to help him figure that out. But you know, again, tonight it's like I don't care if you can throw the ball 45 yards on a rope. You got to do that once or twice a drive. You got to be able to hit these checkdowns. You got to be able to hit the layups. And Cam Ward's taking step back threes left and right.
Yeah, nothing against Robert Saleh. We all love him, but it's one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of D coordinators as head coaches. It's because that quarterback position has become so centric, and now I think it's catapulted to being the most important position in all of professional sports. I think it used to be a pitcher in Major League Baseball, but now you don't win if you don't have a good quarterback in the NFL. It's as simple as that. You need somebody that is good if you want to have any sort of a chance. And because of that, the emphasis on the Sean McVays of the world and the Kyle Shanahans, although McDonald's a defensive coach, but having guys that are able to blow into the ear of these young quarterbacks that are these quote-unquote quarterback whisperers, they're so coveted. And to have a young quarterback that obviously needs all the things that we just talked about, but then have Robert Saleh as your guy, it's sort of an odd fit. It reminds me of when Jared Goff first came into the league and Fisher was his head coach, and Fisher was just a guy who was a former DB and clearly a defensive-minded guy. And Goff, his first year before Sean McVay arrived, if you remember, much like that of Sam Darnold before he came to the 49ers and joined forces with Kyle Shanahan, Jared Goff was like a fish out of water. A lot of people just had the bust word on him that first year, like he is so bad. But I think it's really important for a young quarterback to be able to align with a head coach who has sort of a more of an offensive sense of what it is that he's expecting out of a quarterback and a history of working with young QBs.
Yeah, I think to your point, the Mike McDonalds are the outliers or the exceptions. And, yeah. And to be fair, you know, he did get a veteran quarterback in Sam Darnold, but it was a first-time coordinator in Clint Kubiak that helped propel that offense to the next level, along with that incredible defense. So I think that's, you know, a little bit of the, we'll put him on the side. I think a lot of teams are looking for offensively centric and minded coaches because you have so many raw signal callers now coming out of college. Mm. And it's funny too, because Cam Ward played 5 years of college. He played all over Incarnate Word, up to Washington State, like you mentioned, and then finally in Miami. And you would think that a guy that would have 5 years of college under his belt would be a little more polished, but you know, you kind of threw him into the fire last year, and the Titans are wondering if he can take that step. You know, there's a reason why Cam Ward needed to be out there tonight, and there's a reason why Brock Purdy didn't, and there's a reason why Mac Jones didn't need to be out there. He's the backup quarterback, and some of that has to do with protecting certain guys. But also, a lot of it just has to do with Kyle Shanahan knows that his quarterbacks can do what they need to do. I'm not sure that Robert Saleh knows, along with Brian Daboll, the OC there, that they know that Cam Ward understands what he needs to do, play in and play out. And so they need those in-game reps. Cam Ward, you know, by all accounts of the joint practices, was not very good a couple of days ago for the Titans. Brock Purdy completely outplayed him. And Cam Ward, you know, from what I read, the Niners' secondary and defense looked pretty good against him. So I realize tonight's, you know, kind of a small sample size, 5 for 12, 57 yards. They do score on that opening drive where they go 95 yards in 11 plays. But it just goes to show that preseason, it's for the young dudes, but it also, it can be valuable for the young quarterbacks as well.
Just makes me wonder why someone like that, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Robert Saleh, would want to be a head coach again. I mean, for the most part, he could be another two and done. I mean, is he really going to turn things around in Tennessee? And I say that because I guess you make a couple of $100,000 more, but when you're in a solid place like that of a D coordinator with a winning organization like that of the San Francisco 49ers, don't you have a lot more security? I guess it's just you want to be the guy. I understand that, but I just think about it when you get to a certain point and you've done it once and you begin to realize that, you know, if I was just to stay at a D coordinator where I'm really good with a good football team, I have a lot of security, my reputation isn't as tarnished as opposed to taking over these organizations that have nowhere to go but up. And it's the percentages of me being the guy that's going to revitalize football in Tennessee are, you know, they're pretty slim.
Well, it might be because you're just not seeing a lot of defensive guys getting hired. You know, this was a massive hiring cycle this past summer in which you saw, I believe it was either 9 or 10 teams hire new head coaches. And the majority of them were offensive dudes. You have Stefanski, who goes from Cleveland to Atlanta. Mike LaFleur gets hired from the Rams as their OC to the Cardinals. Joe Brady gets promoted in Buffalo to the head coach. Todd Monken, who's the OC in Baltimore, goes to Cleveland. Clint Kubiak, who was with Seattle's their OC, is now with Las Vegas. And, you know, Mike McCarthy, to an extent, kind of an offensive guy, more of a veteran coach with Pittsburgh. So maybe it's just a case where Robert Saleh is saying, look, I got to take a job because you never know if you're going to get another job. And I also think because of his time in New York with the Jets, as much as a lot of that probably wasn't his fault, and they have a long history of, you know, toxicity in that building, he ain't exactly the best guy on the market. And so I think he realizes that he can always go be a defensive coordinator. Hell, if Raheem Morris does a great job this year, he might be gone. Robert Saleh, he gets, you know, might be able to come back. I'm not so sure. But I think the opportunity to be a head coach is one you have to take. And getting a second opportunity, especially after you've largely failed for 4+ years, doesn't come around too often. That would be my guess. I think he also got a long-term deal from them, but that'd be my guess for Tennessee.
You know, when we're talking about the offense of Tennessee and sort of comparing it to that of the 49ers, we talked about how Cam Ward just would not fit with Kyle Shanahan and what it is that he wants to do or what he covets in a quarterback. The other thing that jumped out at me is when you watch running backs, is this kid for Singleton, running back, anyways, for Tennessee. And then you watch the way 49er running backs run. And this is something that Kyle Shanahan, and it starts with Bobby Turner and his old man, they look for these guys who are north to south. They don't peek into holes. They don't dance into holes. And whether it's McCormick, Sincere McCormick, or Patrick Taylor, or some of the kids that got the ball going to Christian McCaffrey, or all the guys, Black, all of these guys, Jordan James, have the same trait and characteristics that they're guys that just go north to south, point A to point B. And there's none of this sort of tiptoeing in the holes. And I was watching Tennessee and Singleton and some of these backs sort of looking for the space before hitting the hole. And that's just not the way things are done with the 49ers. I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong, but it's interesting to see sort of the philosophical differences in terms of the way they coach and the players that they look for with one team as opposed to the other.
Well, we're going to see if the Niners are going to be able to keep a couple of these running backs healthy, because Kalen Black out. They tonight ended up going with a guy that they had signed previously at the running back position, and Khalil Herbert, you know, who's 6 carries, 18 yards on the ground. As a whole, they didn't run it particularly well. They only had 84 yards and 3 yards a pop. Not that preseason is everything, but, you know, the other side, the Titans were much more efficient on the ground. You just wonder if any of these, hell, forget third-round running backs, any of these running backs are going to be able to be anything, because Jordan James is now dealing with a broken forearm. which he sustained in practice, I think, from Fred Warner on a punch. Isaac Guerrero is a lost cause. You know, you're looking at signing guys from other practice squads, perhaps. You know, the Niners, as much as they are dependent on their quarterback, as any team is, the running back mm-hmm. position for them is so barren and has been because of their inability to find a player in the draft who can step in and help them. It's kind of interesting that a lot of people look at these high-paid running backs as being overpriced and, you know, you don't want to give them that second contract, that big one. You use them up for their rookie deal, and then you replace them immediately because the position just doesn't have that long of a shelf life. It's funny that the Niners have not been able to find any of these guys, whether it's a third-round pick, fifth, anyone so far in the draft in recent years.
But I like the fact it doesn't deter them from just getting right back in.
No, it doesn't.
And getting their guy, Kalon Black. Well, you know what, Ev? It's not the backups, but it's Christian McCaffrey and Robinson of a year ago. The running game was just anemic. And so to your point, you know, Kyle Shanahan in that stretch zone, I mean, that's obviously something that's been handed down through the family, but they've got to get back to, you know, coming up with second and short as opposed to having so much meat on the bone and third and long and second and long, and it's all dictated by the running game, which was so bad last year. So forget about the backups. It's that starting offensive line. It's the starting running backs. It's everybody involved. Whatever it is, they have got to get back to getting, you know, 4 or 5 yards of pop and making things much easier and less predictable for Brock Purdy and company. I don't know what happened a year ago. A lot of it I sort of attribute to when, you know, it's not by coincidence that when George Kittle goes out with an injury, suddenly the running game is not very good. And I think it's one of the things that's, I don't know if it's overlooked, but he's such a good run blocker. But something was amiss a year ago, and they've got to get back to running the football. And it's not necessarily with the kids or the backups. It's with Christian McCaffrey and company.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And it can't be, I know that a lot of McCaffrey's value is the fact that you can kind of run the ball without having to run it. You can sort of just give it to him and he'll eat up some yards. But to me, that's not the way that Kyle Shanahan wants to run his offense. He wants to have an offense that is efficient at putting the ball on the ground, running it down your throat, and getting the ball into the hands of certain backs, whether it's McCaffrey or others, whoever's going to be the backup at third string, somewhere between 30 to 40 times a game. Like, that's how he wants to win football games. And to his credit, that's produced a lot of successful regular seasons. Last year, that's what made one of the reasons I thought last year so crazy was offensively, they found ways to put up points, and they did it without being able to run the football.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a bottom five rushing unit in the entire NFL, and that's with one of the best running backs in the game. I think a lot of that is on the offensive line, McCaffrey getting a bit older. But you're right. They have to be better at running the football this season. And, you know, again, it's preseason. You can't take a lot away from it because you're not seeing the starters out there. But, hell, next week against the Chargers, last week against the Raiders, I would like to see a bit more efficiency in the run game and hopefully a bit more from different players. Hopefully you can get some guys healthy heading into the year, not named Christian McCaffrey, because as much as I would love to believe that McCaffrey will be that Iron Man again for them, he touched the ball more than he ever had in his entire career last year between rushes and receptions, including a couple of playoff games. It's hard for me to believe that his body is going to be able to hold up at age 30 again in the way that it did last season. So odds are, with Brian Robinson gone, one of these guys we're seeing in preseason is going to tote the rock at some point this year for the Niners.
Yeah, and it looks as though, well, Kalon Black in the groin should be good to go for the opener, but I think a lot's going to be relied on him. What do you think of this kid, Patrick Taylor? He's a big boy, man.
He is big.
And I like the way he carries the football. He's just all, when you think of 49 running backs, they're all from Mason right on down the line. They're mean, man. And they're not guys that are going to avoid contact. And I think it's something, it's not by coincidence. They look for those guys. And so, yeah, I'm with you when it comes to McCaffrey. I think last year's sort of the outlier, really, when you think about where this guy was at. We were ready for this guy to snap his Achilles any moment now, when you think of where he was 2 years ago. And then for him to play as frequently as he did a year ago, is that something that you can count on going forward? I'm not necessarily sure. So it puts that much more of an emphasis on the Blacks or the Jordan James or all of these kids, Sincere McCormick or Patrick Taylor. But somebody's got to pop. We know what McCaffrey can do. Somebody, and hopefully it's Black, right? That's going to be a guy that's going to be potentially the heir apparent.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Overtime with Evan Giddings and Dan Devone here on 95.7 The Game. Titans 19, 49ers 13 in week one of the preseason. You know, the other thing, it's like you sign a guy like Zamir White, former Las Vegas Raider, who can, you know, kind of do a bit of both, has been a target in the backfield, out of the backfield at times in his career. But what we saw in 2024 is one of the reasons why they were so inefficient without McCaffrey in the red zone was just the lack of a threat out of the backfield. And as much as I would love to believe that Deebo Samuel can step in and become, even if it's a semblance of himself from a few years ago, I don't know how much I'm willing to rely on that to kind of be a bit of a hybrid player. Yeah, I think he would work really well alongside McCaffrey, as a lot of wide receivers do, because he takes so much pressure off them with guys in the box and whatnot. But if Christian McCaffrey's not out there, there just simply isn't an answer for this football team. And so, to me, it falls squarely on the shoulders of Brock Purdy. Maybe it's Mac Jones if he has to step in at some point this year. But to me, the biggest reason why they were able to still put up points at the rate they did last year as opposed to 2 years ago, it's because of number 23. And that's just something that, as much as, to your point, they've tried to address in the draft and they've used picks on, you know, you're not going to find another CMC, but I don't even know if they have another running back on this roster that can be a dual threat guy that you could deliver the ball to out of the backfield, not named Deebo Samuel.
Well, Mike Evans might be that guy. Now, obviously, he's not going to get any carries and he's not going to line up in the wide back position. But I think that, to your point, in the red zone, as reliant they are on McCaffrey and being that dual threat, now that you have Evans, doesn't he become the sort of guy that you can just, you know, put it up in his area, especially when you get in the red zone, and maybe alleviate some of the pressure from Christian McCaffrey if you become really sort of Mike Evans-centric? I think he's one of the guys that we all know, obviously, for me to say he's a key to the success of the 49ers. Yeah, well, thanks for the insight, Dan. But I think you get to a certain point, especially when you're a wide receiver, and when you think about as much football as this guy has played since he came out of A&M nearly a decade ago, and then you suffer that injury when you're on the wrong side at 30, you can go one of two ways. Either last year was sort of the outlier and he's going to get back to being Mike Evans, or it's sort of the beginning of that state of regression, right? Like, you start to come down the backside of the mountain followed by more injuries, and you never get back or recapture who you were just a short 2 or 3 years ago. So I'm really curious as to what version of Mike Evans you're going to get this year.
Yeah, I think that's the theme of the season for the San Francisco 49ers, is how much do you have left in the tank? Because it's Evans, it's McCaffrey, it's Kittle, it's Bosa, it's Trent, it's Fred. You know, I think there are some guys to varying degrees that we believe in more than others, but Mike Evans is someone who, like, before last year, he was considered an Iron Man, and the 1,000-yard years, 11 straight seasons, rivals the likes of Jerry Rice. He was a model of consistency, and you're right. It's kind of weird to talk about a player like that who's been so consistent over his career, but it is somewhat of a prove-it season for him, and I think that's the way the Niners structured his contract as well. You know, he got a 3-year deal, pretty team-friendly, if you ask me, in terms of the AAV, but there's not a lot of guaranteed money. So the Niners have set this up so Mike Evans could be a part of their team down the line, but also might be a guy they could pivot off of in a year. To me, he's the perfect stopgap to figure out what you want to do at that position while you determine, all right, we can't trust Ricky Pearsall. He can't stay on the field. You know Brandon Ayuk is not coming back, perhaps ever again to the NFL. What are we going to do at the wide receiver spot? Is it this guy, Dejon Stribling, who could potentially take the mantle and take the reins at that of that position group? Or are we going to need to rely on veterans for the next couple of seasons? So I think Mike Evans gives them some flexibility at that spot. But you're absolutely right that as good as Stribling looked tonight and explosive as he has looked in training camp, if Mike Evans is not the number one wide receiver for this football team, I do think they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think that the wide receiver room is tenuous at best.
Yeah.
When you think about every one of those guys.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We got about a half hour left here on overtime on 95.7 The Game with Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. Again, a standout performance from the Niners' second-round pick, DeJon Stribling. If you want to talk about him, what you saw from perhaps Raheem Morris's new-look defense. Hell, if it's Kyle Shanahan being back on the sideline with a handlebar mustache, by the way.
Yeah.
7 catches, 63 yards for Stribling. We'll break it all down coming up next. Again, a half hour left, 888-957-9570. Titans 19, Niners 13, week one of the preseason. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to overtime on 95.7 The Game.
All right, a half hour left here. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you late night. Week one of the preseason, Niners go down to the Titans. Robert Saleh back at Levi Stadium. Only home game of the preseason. Niners will be on the road at SoFi next week, and then they'll wrap up with Las Vegas, a team they've, I don't know if they ever play in the regular season. That brings out the dogs, but they'll be there in the preseason at Allegiant. And here to talk about some of our biggest takeaways, I think, you and I are both on the same page that the most positive part of tonight's game, in addition to getting out of there relatively unscathed in terms of injuries, has got to be their second-round pick, DeJon Stribling. And it's funny that coming into the week, there was not a lot of talk about the two wide receivers, Stribling and Tate, because Carnell Tate was taken so high and was supposed to be this huge talent on the scene. But felt like he was in Stribling's shadow most of the night. We'll find out. It's kind of funny. It's like the two top picks for the Titans last 2 years, Cam Ward 1-1, Tate 1-4, kind of felt like they left you wanting more.
Looked really pedestrian. But again, listen, I don't want to pass too much judgment after just one preseason football game, but just sticking with Stribling, and this sort of where we started the whole show, is I think that, what time is the roast kickoff tomorrow? 6 a.m.? Your boy Shasky's just going to be
6:06 technically.
Loud and proud, yeah. Just screaming from the mountaintops about one Stribling, and rightfully so. And it's just Shanahan again. He was saying all the right things, but he's doing jumpy jacks inside because that's what he needed. One of these guys to play. That's exactly what he needed to see, because that's the one area where I think he needs a lot of help. And it's an area where he really leans on these young fellows, especially the rookies. And apparently he's been getting in the face of Stribling. So he likes to see that development. And we saw, remember Debo his rookie year? He's going to be a guy that's going to be relied upon. This is not just sort of a preseason flash. And it's one of the reasons why we're highlighting this, because of a lot of these guys, you may not see him throughout the regular season with any sort of regularity. But this guy, there's a chance that he's lining up in the slot or somewhere when the 49ers play the Rams and are in their first offensive set, and not only that, but he could be a guy that could be towards the middle and the latter part of the season. I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but could be the focal point of your offense.
Well, I think he's certainly going to be a guy that you saw him tonight using different spots, underneath routes, caught a 32-yard reception, sort of an up and out. He looks versatile. I think he's going to be mostly out of the slot, assuming that Mike Evans and Debo Samuel are healthy, but he's a guy that was getting the ball a lot on third down. I think that's something you're going to see in the regular season, and it's interesting because this is a pretty heavy, top-heavy wide receiver draft with Tate leading the group. Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State, Mekhi Lemon, who I really like, in Philadelphia got a 20 for USC. KC Concepcion was a player the Niners were linked to, and then so was Omar Cooper, who they worked out for the Jets, and right behind him, Denzel Boston, who, at least from what I've read, has looked good in Cleveland's camp out of Washington. He's a guy that the Niners are getting to the point, Dan, where they cannot afford to miss on wide receivers. And a big reason is because of the capital they used, and they just haven't gotten anything out of Ricky Pearsall for the most part. Jordan Watkins caught a couple catches tonight. I know he's a fourth-round pick, but the wide receivers that they've taken in recent years just simply have not been good enough. And that's why, a Jacob Cowing, who was a fourth-round pick 2 years ago, who's got the burners but can't stay on the field, at some point as much as, I mean, you're not going to hold these guys accountable but with their jobs because they're winning games, but it's like at some point you got to hit on one of these dudes. And that's why I think tomorrow, you're right, everyone's going to be excited about Stribling because he's got some potential to pop. And it's crazy to say it, but that just hasn't been the case for a long time here in San Francisco.
Yeah, not only hit on one of these wide receivers, but hit on one of these wide receivers who can stretch defense, because they've missed on whether it's Cowling or going back to our guy Danny Gray.
Danny Gray. I mean, Brandon Ayuk is the most recent one that's actually turned in anything.
Yeah, but really, don't you have to go back to sort of Emmanuel Sanders to think of a guy who was actually a burner on this football team? I mean, and Brock Purdy is a guy, unlike that of Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think can let a rip. And to have that dimension with this guy Stribling, you're telling me he's a 4.3 40 guy. I mean, that to go along with what it is that we saw tonight, that he can make catches in traffic, he can put his head down. God, that toe tap he had, and then just simply pile driving like three defenders, to me was just sort of an omen of things to potentially come for this guy. But the fact that he can now stretch a D and take the lid off, that's just a dimension that they haven't had for some time.
No, and it's interesting because despite not having a burner, you know, you think about the classic Kyle Shanahan-led offenses from 2019 to 2023. They were number one, if not top five in the league in yards after catch. And they did damage once the ball was delivered, whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo or early Brock Purdy. And the last two seasons, there just hasn't been any of it. You know, and it's some of these guys getting older. 2024, you saw Debo certainly lose a step. Brandon Ayuk goes through the contract negotiation, tears his ACL, and misses most of last season. So there certainly was some misfortune there, but you can only scheme so much. You need guys who can get open, and I don't think that Mike Evans is that sort of burner. He's going to be more involved in a lot of 50-50 balls and hopefully doing damage in the red zone to help them convert points. But Stribling is someone that you can legitimately envision beating you at or even behind potentially the line of scrimmage, as well as being able to go over the top. So I think the versatility early on in this game was apparent from Stribling. You know, just a couple of quick hiccup routes. You've read about the ability to, you know, operate in tight spaces. To me, it was really fun to see all the stuff we've been reading about and maybe watching on clips, you know, from people posting from training camp. It was really cool to see that come to fruition, because as much as people write about it and, you know, they're in kind of light pads and maybe they're padding up and going hard one day at a time, until you actually see it on the football field, it ain't real.
Yeah, I think today was huge. And there's a lot of excitement, and it's going to be around, I forget about who won or lost. By the way, is there a line on tonight's game for you sickies?
You want to know what it was?
Yeah, what was it?
6.5.
Oh, God, you need help. You didn't play it, did you? Oh, my God.
Niners got him by a hook.
Wow.
The Niners covered. What are you talking about?
What do you think of Kyle's mustache?
Oh, it's disgusting. What do you mean? Usually you wait for November for that sort of thing, right?
Looks, you know, he looks like he reminds me of Kendall Roy from Succession.
It's actually a show I haven't gotten into.
Really?
No. You would think so. Actually, I've seen a lot of people compare it to, you know, some of the stuff going on in Golden State with the Lakers, but that's probably the only reference I've seen. He's 46 years old. He's about at the age where a mustache is fine.
No, I mean, it looks a little weird. Kind of reminds me of, this is going to predate a lot of people, but Billy Martin, former A's
skipper
manager. Yeah, he used to rock a mustache like that. But good to see him back, bottom line. I think he's pleasantly surprised with it. I thought every one of those rookies, and I don't say this every preseason game, but they sort of, again, that, I want to say Spry-lock, but...
Psy-lock. Just double check that.
Prysock. Prysock.
I just call him Ephesians. It's a great name. Prysock.
That's an exciting looking football player, man.
Prysock and Duggar look like a couple of dudes. And again, I realize it's only one game, but you know, that's a fourth and a fifth round pick. It's also kind of funny too, because you think about some of the best picks the Niners have made in recent memory, it's like none of them are first or second round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back down. Obviously, Brock Purdy is the last pick of the draft. You go back to Italano Hufanga, who was a fifth-round pick. Juwan Jennings was a seventh-round pick. Dre Greenlaw in the fifth. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick. You know, they've found some dudes in the back half of this draft, and it's interesting that they haven't been able to hit in the top three, but Prysock is kind of that old-school throwback corner. And then Duggar, he's big and he is fast. I know that he went to a small school in Louisiana, but he's somebody that...
He looks like a player.
As much as Nick Martin has a third-round talent, I could see your boy Duggar chasing him for that spot.
You know, watching them last year in the preseason, I just don't remember the rookies jumping off the page like this. Like when I saw Upton Stout, I was like, yeah, okay, we'll see. And he's turned into potentially a really good football player, and Alfred Collins was a big boy, but this year's crew just looks like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a little more shine than in recent years. And we'll see, obviously. You know, time will tell, but they sort of jump out at me.
I mean, I think last year they absolutely focused more on the defensive side of the ball. The only players that they took who play offense were Jordan Watkins, Jordan James, and Curtis Rourke, who's, again, according to Kyle Shanahan, X-rays came back negative for the rib injury that he sustained on that quarterback keeper in the first half. But this year, you know, it was a little more balanced. You saw a couple of offensive line being taken, which was the first time, I believe, in 2 years that they took multiple offensive linemen. You saw them take a couple of D linemen, and then the skill position players in Stribling and Black. I know they didn't have 10 picks like they did in 2025, but you know, you're seeing, I think, more of a concentrated effort on trying to just replenish the talent pool of their young guys, because the Niners are in a position, Dan, where I think they're hoping that this season the bottom doesn't fall out on a lot of these aging veterans. They're hoping that they have maybe one, if you're lucky, two more years of elite play out of some of these guys. But I also think that one of the reasons they've hitched their wagon on short-term deals to some of these older players is they just don't know if these young guys have it. And if you're really going to have to rebuild this thing from the ground up, if this season goes the wrong way, you know, there's no reason to believe that there's a ton of hope coming in 2027, unless you indeed believe that Brock Purdy is some tide that raises all boats. And as good as Brock Purdy is, I think he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. He's somebody, just like any quarterback, who's going to need help around him. You know, I think he's a solid guy. I think he's got a high floor, but he needs some of these young players to take strides, and he's going to need those aging stars to remain upright.
There's got to be a new star on this football team, not named George Kittle or Fred Warner or Christian McCaffrey. One of these guys has got to be not just good, but a star, but a budding star. If this thing is to continue, right?
Yeah.
Unless we're just going to ride it out with these veterans and then rely on Brock Purdy, who is the most efficient quarterback in the NFL, but he needs help just like anybody else. And I think that these draft picks that they've had in order for this thing to work, have got to be really good. You know, somebody's got one or two have got to pop into being sort of all Pro Bowl type players.
Yeah, in preseason, you're not going to find out everything about all these guys who are largely going to be depth pieces for the Niners. But I guess my biggest concern for this season is what happened where last season left off. Like, are they a paper tiger? Was the 12-5 season legitimate? How much of that magic or sort of residue is left on this year's team? Because if I'm looking at what happened in the NFC division game, they got their doors blown off by, obviously, the eventual Super Bowl champs who haven't gone anywhere. The Rams, in my opinion, got a little bit better. And the Niners are a team that are teetering a little bit. I'm not sure what direction they're going in. But you saw what happened in that division round game when the Niners got to the end of the season. They were injured, and they looked to some of their younger guys or backups to step up and step in. It did not go well. And so that's why, as tough as the start of the season looks to me, you got the Rams, you got the Seahawks, you got the Broncos, three of the first five games. You know, I wonder how much they're going to really lean into the start of the year, because in one breath, you're trying to keep your guys healthy for the end of the season, but in another, I'm not sure how much catch-up they can afford to play, because last season they did go for the one seed, but did that leave them in a spot where they actually could have rested a guy or two in week 18 that would have helped them in a potential playoff push?
I mean, ideally, you would like to have last year's schedule so that you could rest a George Kittle with all of these injuries. But when you kick things off against your rival, that being the Los Angeles Rams, there really is no room for rest. Although I get it. There's a drop off to Tonjes, but Tonjes is still adequate. Shout out Cal. I wouldn't play him in week one.
And George Kittle?
No, I think it's just, and then just think about the travel. I mean, don't even make the trip. You got to come all the way back here. Where's your head at going to be in game two when you think about the time zones? I mean, you lose a whole day when you cross the equator like that. You know, that's Australia. It's not like going to Europe. It's not about going there because they're going to have like 10 days. They're going to get there a week before. But when you come back, acclimating back to a Sunday afternoon football game is going to be really challenging for this team.
Well, real quick, because I'm not sure we're going to have a chance to talk about it. We got about 10 minutes left here on overtime. If you want to get any calls or texts in, 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you think about the diametrically opposed strategies the 49ers and Rams are taking? I mean, the Niners are getting to Australia 8 days before, and the Rams are flying in 1 day before and leaving immediately.
Yeah, I think it's one or the other. So we'll find out. I don't know.
Like, whoever wins the game is just going to determine international travel from here on out.
You're going to, you know, one team is, yeah. Sean McVay, bless that dude, because he does his own. The Rams, for the most part, just do their own thing. They're that one team that just sort of like, they don't care. They've cashed in, you know, draft picks, and they go for Super Bowls. They play for today, and they're sort of unique in that regard. They're the one team out of L.A. where I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with Sean McVay and company. The hell with the Lakers, by the way.
The Lakers? What's wrong? What do you got against L.A. outside
of
Levi's South?
I mean, first of all, the Lakers, as we all know, like, who likes the Lakers? But now that you have a Kushner that owns the team, Jesus Christ.
Oh, well.
Sorry. What more do you need to hate that team?
East Coast Dan's coming out.
All right.
This is where the pavement, it's the road.
No, we're doing
that. How it goes.
What's the name of the show? Because
this is overtime.
It's over. It's not.
We're working overtime.
It's not Orange and Black. It's not Warriors Rap. It's like, how many of these things am I doing?
No, the last time we talked, I think, was on a Warriors this week. Well, if you don't count New York City, where I ran into you in your own concrete jungle.
Yeah,
come on, man.
That's a bizarre thing that's happened to me my entire life. What'd you feel? What were your takeaways from the game today?
The Niners?
Yeah.
I thought that number one, I don't think they took it very seriously. You know, I mean, they did from the standpoint of getting reps for guys, but Kyle Shanahan clearly is just trying to get through the preseason. And I think, you know, you look at, dude, like, think about how long Kyle Shanahan has been head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. This guy is coming up on, I think, was it year 10? Year 10 as head coach? Yes, this will be his 10th season as head coach of the 49ers. He's coached 150 games. He doesn't give a damn about preseason. He's been a coordinator since 2008. He's been in the league since 2000. Like, this guy has gone through so much football. And, you know, car accident aside, whatever you make of it, I just think that he is in a position where he just wants to get his guys to week one healthy and kind of mimic Sean McVay in some way. But, you know, it is a ho-hum, back-to-work sort of deal for the 49ers. So I think if there's anything that I enjoyed about tonight, it was seeing Dejon Stribling produce as advertised. Like, that's a legitimate thing, and not in, with all due respect for those who still love him, not in a Trey Lance way, where he made one throw in preseason, a big broken play, and everyone was excited as all heck. I remember it like it was yesterday, 2021 against the Packers. Everyone came in the next day and was like, oh my God, Trey Lance going to be the next. They got the
not
pick.
Everyone.
They got the guy. Not Dan DeVone. He was on it from the start. But there appears to be legitimacy from Stribling, and I think that's what we're looking for in preseason, to see if a couple guys can pop and make plays and if they have staying power. So that was pretty long-winded.
Yeah, I think the two things that popped at me, obviously, was Stribling. But secondly, was Curtis Rourke. Like, I think they threw a nice ball.
He's pretty accurate.
Curtis Warwick is a big 6'4", legitimate, broad-shouldered guy who can let a rip, man. That was sort of nice to see.
Something about those seventh-round quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, he was Mendoza before Mendoza, right, at the University of Indiana, and a guy that tore his ACL his senior year, and 49ers knew that they weren't going to have him available last year, so they take him in the seventh round, and wow. I mean, it looks like they got a quarterback there, and that's key for the 49ers because they're looking ahead, obviously. Should something happen to Mac Jones, he's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere else next year. But I think that after what happened in the NFC Championship game, what was that, 3 years ago with the UCL tear against Philadelphia and Josh Johnson, and just the drop-off was so severe. Even going back to the days of Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullen and company, that Kyle Shanahan realizes, as we just talked about, how important that position has become, that you can't have a drop-off as significant as that, which is why they spent time and money on guys like Mac Jones and Sam Darnold. And so they're looking at the next. And I think they found one with this kid Rourke. I think as much as we talk about Stribling, hey, Rourke was pretty good. Looked pretty good today.
I mean, 12 for 14, 100 yards, nearly 100 quarterback rating. Did not throw a touchdown, did not throw a pick. But you're right. And we talked earlier about how a guy like Cam Ward doesn't feel like a Shanahan quarterback. Curtis Rourke looks exactly like a Kyle Shanahan quarterback.
Right.
Get the ball out on time, deliver it to where it needs to go, and keep it out of harm's way. I mean, that's what you're looking for there. So, you know, again, tonight the Niners fall 19-13. First week of the preseason, schedule for the Niners coming up. That's, you know, like...
Got your Chargers next week. Where are you at with your Chargers these days?
Where I'm at with the Chargers? Well, they got to prove it. I mean, they've been to the postseason last 2 years, haven't won a game. It's funny, like the Chargers have had a better team going into the playoffs last year than the Niners did. The Niners were broken.
Yeah.
But the Niners were a team that played with more guts. They played with more intuition. They play with more strategy. They have a better head coach in terms of schematics. And it's interesting, like we're talking about, do the Niners have this? Do they have that? The Niners, to me, had the most impressive postseason win last year out of everything, based on what they had to overcome and who they had to go into and play.
Philly.
Yeah. I know they got the brakes beat off them the next week in Seattle, but that would have been a freaking miracle if they beat that team.
You remember that game against Philadelphia where they had no linebackers? Because Bethune was out, Warner was already out, D. Winter wasn't available, and they got, like, Kendricks, who was walking the streets, and they got, like...
Yeah, Eric Kendricks.
They literally had no linebackers for that game. It was ridiculous. So, yeah, to your point.
I mean, DeMarcus Robinson sort of was their number one receiver against Philly. Had a really good game.
That's right.
Brock Purdy threw a couple touchdowns. They got one late. Got over on the Eagles. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Before we get out of here, I think it's sort of interesting that... And you touched on this, that next game against Seattle, was that just, you know, Seattle sort of was in that, it was the perfect storm and they all came together and they're, you know, destined to win that Super Bowl? Or is that sort of a sign of the times? I mean, how much do you take away, not only from that one game, but the last two games against the Seahawks or the Niners didn't even get into the end zone?
That's the biggest part. And that's where, you know, hopefully a Dejon Stribling can help you. Maybe not immediately as the best wide receiver on this team, but he can give you something else because Ricky Pearsall, due to his inability to stay on the field, could not be
but
that
it
guy.
It looked bigger than one player, though. It looked like the Chicago Bears of 1985. I mean,
well, the second game for sure.
The first game too. It looks like they were playing with 14 dudes. It was just like, I mean, and I've heard this that McDonald has got Brock Purdy. Like that's something that. Yeah, he owns Brock Purdy. Going back to Baltimore, remember when he stamped him with Baltimore on that Christmas Day?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right, well, a lot to cover. And also react to tomorrow again, starting at 6 a.m. with the morning roast, Steining Guru 10 to 2, and the Willard Dibs from 2 to 6. But that's going to do it for overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to my partner, Dan Devone, our guy Cam Williams in the back, holding it down for us until 11 o'clock at night. We'll say so long here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Cam Williams. We'll talk to you next time.